Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Live every day, baby, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, and we are live. Ron Hughley is out today. Luke Morrow is in. We're going to see what Luke got today for about 4 hours. He's part of the 610 family. You probably heard him on a couple of the other shows. Luke, have you done a drive yet one of the days when I was out?
No, this is the last show of the daily lineup. Well, the morning show as well. But, yeah, no, I haven't. This is my first time, so happy to be alongside you. And picked a great day to come in because not only the game this weekend, but the location today. So I won out today.
Absolutely, man. Good. Well, good to be. You look like you might play around the golf or something. Hell, I came like I was going to hang out this evening somewhere in downtown Houston. Y'all, you look like you're going to swing the sticks a bit here. But we're happy to be here, East River 9, for a football Friday. Big shout-out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for being one of a couple of folks that make this thing happen. But we want to encourage everybody to come out, not only come out and enjoy East River 9, but also Academy Sports and Outdoors, the ultimate tailgate prize pack. There should be banners around the building. There should be little pop-ups around the building. It's a QR code. You scan that QR code, you enter the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Tailgate Prize Pack. And what that is $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Now, it's couched as a tailgating opportunity, but you can spend it on whatever the hell you want to at Academy Sports and Outdoors. If you've lived around these parts for any amount of time, you know Academy Sports and Outdoors has any and everything that you, your husband, your wife, your significant other, your kids, whatever the hell you need, you can get it at Academy Sports and Outdoors, no matter what time of year it is. As well, so we've got that. You got to be here. Boom! You scan that QR code. You register to win that. Oh, also the $1,000 gift card, as well as it's two tickets in the suite for the Christmas Day game, Texans versus Baltimore Ravens, in our suite, the Odyssey Suite, the Sports Radio 610 suite, which is the second largest suite in NRG Stadium. The only way you upgrading, baby, is if you get in with the McNairs somehow, some way. And I think that's a long list of VIPs. So good luck getting in there. But you can get in with us. You got to get on that list of Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Tailgate Prize Pack list, and you got to do it here. There's a QR code. It's very, very simple. We're also giving away a couple of $25 Academy gift cards today. $25. Spend it at Academy on anything you want. We're also giving away. Actually, East River 9 here, they're giving away a round of golf for two right here at East River 9. We're going to give two of those away. So two rounds for two, if that makes sense. Come on out, put your name in this raffle. It's going to be it's going to be a good time. Luke, have you swung the sticks this place yet?
No, not yet. But after coming out here today, I think I'm going to have to return and make a day of it because this place is great.
Well, one of the beautiful things about being here is last time I was here, I brought my family, actually, with my family, which is dangerous. The fellas in my family met us out here, and we had us a nice little we played little nine holes. And we may even play twice, 18, but they liked this thing up at night, so it was lighted.
That's cool.
And you think, especially with my crew, you're like, damn, we might slice a ball or pull a ball, might hurt somebody, but it's actually laid out in a way where, I'm sure it's happened before, but it's laid out in a way where it's not as tight as you would think. It, obviously it is because it's par three, but it's not as tight as you think. So really cool place. Come check it out. And I encourage everybody to bring the sticks. Hey, but if you don't play golf, I'm looking right inside here at this lounge, this little dinner spot. It's solid as well. So I want to jump right in, Luke, into what we saw last night. Now, this has a Houston twist on it, obviously, because everything comes back to Houston. But the now 3-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers went to Atlanta, and they lost 30-36 to the Falcons. Now 3-2 Atlanta Falcons, so they're tied above that or at the top of that division. And as it pertains, I don't care about the game. I don't really care to dig into that game, to be completely honest with you. There's a couple of talking points we may be able to get into later on. But I want to bring it back to Houston, man. There's a couple of things in NFL circles that I'm just tired of hearing. The silliness, the bull jive, if you want to. This is one of the times I really wish I could cuss on the radio. But the stuff that we hear about the inability to get the run game going is silly. And I'm through with it. But last night, I'm sitting here watching that game, and I listened to the commentators talking about how Bijan Robinson isn't a fit, or not isn't a fit, but hasn't. He's still working on learning how to run this outside zone scheme, which this is where it comes back to Houston, right? The two coordinators last night in that ball game are both McVay guys. Zach Robinson is a McVay guy, and Liam Cohen is a McVay guy. Both of those guys came out of the same system, ultimately, that Bobby Slowick came out of. And the commentators are talking about, well, Bijan's still working on this or working on that. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about these running backs. You've been running zone concepts, and you've been running power concepts and G-scap gap scheme concept. You've been doing that since you was knee-high to a grasshopper. Now you've made it to the NFL, and all of a sudden these guys need to work on getting better. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Either your offensive line and your play caller and your coaching is good enough to get it done, or it's not. I mean, I'm just tired of the talk about the running backs. Last night, Bijan Robinson had 5-plus yards per carry. Tampa Bay on the other side of the football, as a group, they had 6-plus yards per carry. Luke, we sit there and watch. We watch another one. Green Bay. What's the Green Bay head coach's name?
Matt LaFleur.
We watch Jones. Mm-hmm. We watch Jones, who's no longer there, and Dylan, who I believe is hurt there.
Yeah.
Two totally different backs with different skill sets. We watch those guys tear up defenses as a 1-2 punch in the same offense. Guess what? Same run schemes and same all that stuff. And I guess I'm just at a point where I am so fed up with all the bull jive about why the Texans can't get this thing run. Last year it was Damian Pierce wasn't a good fit. Now Damian Pierce, where I'm going with all this, is Damian Pierce is back this week. Damian Pierce was at practice today. And now is Damian Pierce the guy who's going to be downhill and they're going to change their scheme? Or do we go with Cam Akers, who is more of that patient, slow-moving, floating, outside zone type of back? I'm fed up with it. It don't matter who the damn back is. Bobby Slowick, the O-line coach, and this offensive line group has to get their stuff together when we run a damn football.
Well, I guess that was going to answer my question, because I was going to turn it right back to you and ask you, if you were making a pie chart of blame to go around for this,
yeah,
who would be the largest, who do you blame the most for the lack of success so far in the ground game? Is it Bobby Slowick operating this offense?
Well, I tell you, right now it's Bobby Slowick. I'm over the trying to force the outside zone run. Like, it worked against Indianapolis, because we know now Indianapolis is a half-pint run defense, right? And so it worked there. But the thought that these tight ends, and Brevin Jordan was in on that Indianapolis game, he's injured now, but Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan, if we're still hoping that those guys are going to be able, against physical defenses, against, like you're going to see this week against Buffalo, I don't care who's playing and who's not playing, they're coached a certain way. They're going to be physical as hell. If we're at a point where we think that all of a sudden these guys are going to be able to block against this caliber football team the way they did against Indianapolis, I think we're barking up the wrong tree. You look at our tackles. Our tackles, they're finesse guys. They're not power. They're not grinders. They're not movers. So I'm at the point now to where I'm really questioning Bobby Slowick and his forcing of this outside zone scheme. Because I do think there's some truth to, you know, because you hear him talking when he talks to the media, talking about this scheme and being a fit in this scheme, and we really see it coming, and there's the O-line's got to work together and see this crease, and the running back's got to see this crease. Man, to hell with that. You know what I mean? Let's get downhill and move some guys and get this run game going. I don't give a damn who the running back is. It's all about the guys up front, and it's Bobby Slowick. To answer your question specifically, to me, it's Bobby Slowick is a huge chunk of it. Make it 50, 60% if you want to, because you got it. The play caller, obviously, and then this force factor, you know, that I think he's doing, asking guys to do things that they're not capable of doing with tight ends, I think is on him. And then the rest of it's the offensive line. I'm tired of Damian Pierce catching hell. I'm tired of Cam Akers not being enough. I'm tired of Joe Mixon and all. He's not there, so not. Nothing got nothing to do with their inability to run the damn football. We watch. Oh, buddy, and that damn. It's got the crazy. It's going to Germany to fix his Achilles tendon.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, we watch him go out, and some guy for about the fifth time, Luke.
Yeah.
Some guy we ain't never heard of sits in there and runs the football to 100 plus yards.
Well, that's always been the thing with the Shanahan offense. I mean, go back to the father in Denver who had a different 1,000-yard rusher like six straight years with a different back. The idea is that you could plug in whoever. It's not about the running back. It's about the system, and the system's not operating as it should be here in Houston for whatever reason. But I think Sunday against the Bills is that gut check time, because this is a team that averages almost 6 yards per carry, the Buffalo Bills defense. They've been getting shredded on the ground. And it wasn't just that Ravens game last week. If you go back, you look, every week they've given up over 90 rushing yards. They are bottom three in yards allowed per game and yards per carry. So this is the opportunity Sunday where if you still can't run the football with some sort of success, you don't have to be like the Ravens Sunday. But can you look more similar to week one than you did the last couple weeks? That's a sign of progress for the Texans. But if you still can't run the football Sunday with Damian Pierce back now and Cam Akers, that's a big red flag against this Bills defense. Because to your point, yeah, Christian McCaffrey's out. The Niners have been fine without him running the football. You mentioned the Packers earlier. They lost Jordan Jacobs. They put in Emmanuel Wilson, I think his name is. He had a big game. So the idea is it's kind of like a plug and play at the running back position. So even though you don't have Joe Mixon, Pierce, Akers, these guys should be good enough, especially against this defense on Sunday. And if the Texans can't run on Sunday, big red flag.
Look, absolutely. Biggest red flag that we've had so far, because the Texans, the expectations are totally different right now. It's I mean, if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender, your ass needs to be able to run the football. Mm-hmm. You look, I mean, think about the different systems you just mentioned. I mean, you got San Francisco, you mentioned Green Bay. We can throw Miami in that bunch. How many different running backs have we seen go in there and do work? Now, are we going to sit here and believe that all these running backs are just their outside zone scheme guys? Hell no. I've never met a running back. Now, I know there's some nuance to it. I get it. And there's some truth to some of it. But as it pertains to generating a run game and not generating a run game, I've never met an NFL running back that could not make hay in a certain scheme if it were blocked up right. I mean, we can talk about a couple of these different things and are they getting big chunk runs? Are they not? I mean, there are some nuances there, maybe some deeper conversations to have. But this is a crying-ass shame. I mean, the last 2 years, you know, take a wild guess. Take a wild guess at the longest run for the Houston Texans since DeMeco Ryans has been the head coach. More importantly, more specifically, since Bobby Slowick has been the offensive coordinator. Longest run from scrimmage.
I'll say 24 yards.
24 yards.
Oh, really?
Guess what? The longest this year, 18 yards. I mean, so it's we're at a spot where, man, it's unacceptable, and it's got to lay at the feet. In my opinion, when you got a defensive minded head coach, it's calling plays on that side of the football. It's got to fall at the feet of the offensive coordinator. Has done great things in the past games, done great things with a young quarterback, but damn it, I mean, that one sided deal. Mike Leach did great things with wide receivers and quarterbacks, right? I mean, Hal Mumme did great things with wide receivers and quarterbacks, but you look at them dudes that are competing for the most part year in, year out, for championships, they're running the rock. Somehow, some way, they're running the rock. I mean, it's just if we're gonna hold Bobby Slowick to that level, which I do, I think he's a great offensive coordinator. But damn it, I'm running thin on this run game thing.
And that was the biggest thing last year too for the Texans in the playoffs when they got to that Baltimore game. Right, the Ravens ran it all over them. They couldn't run it. You go back even look at the Chiefs last year with Patrick Mahomes. The big reason why they won the Super Bowl is because they played good physical defense and they could still run the football.
Yeah.
Come January and February. And when you look at the AFC in particular, if we were just to jump ahead and look at the big picture for this Texans team in 2024, you imagine this year and the next couple years, if you want to win the AFC, you're probably going to have to go to some cold outdoor places, whether it's Kansas City, Buffalo, If Cincinnati turns it around the next couple of years, even you don't have to worry about Jacksonville in the playoffs, Tennessee in the playoffs. You're typically going, you know, Pittsburgh might be a playoff team this year. You have to go up north, play outdoors. Baltimore, we saw last year, and a lot of times in those games, in order to win, you have to be able to run the football and certainly run it better than the Texans have.
Great point. I mean, it hits home because you didn't do it last year against Baltimore, which I think Baltimore is just a even well above the elite, some of the elite defenses. I just think year in, year out, there's a level of physicality in Baltimore that just doesn't exist in many places. And so I think it's what their DNA is. And somehow they find players that have that in them, or they just hold them to that standard. And if you can't play physical, they get you up out of there. So that's I mean, I think that's we're asking for a huge jump. I'm just looking for something complimentary. I got a couple of things for you, Luke, here. We've kind of covered this a couple of different times throughout the week, but since you haven't heard it, I'm sure some of our listeners hadn't heard it. This is specifically, I hate to be the guy that just bitches and moans and doesn't bring some kind of solution to the table, right? To me, the answer is not wasting downs with Bobby Slowick. The condensed formations. Last week, I quit watching the game tape as it pertains to, oh boy, are they just overly condensing the formation after the first couple of drives. It's just blatantly obvious, like they are condensing formations, and it's making it, it's muddy in the waters, it's inviting defenders to the ball, to the line of scrimmage, and we don't have guys that are physical enough to move them. And that's a problem. He's got to quit doing that. He's wasting downs with these silly-ass personnels. Blake Fisher as a tight end, And British Brooks and J.J. Taylor and John Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, those guys are all great if they have to play for the most part,
yeah.
Right? One personnel grouping where four of those five are in the game together is wild to me, given what you have. And today what I'm bringing to the table is this may be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm there. I'd love to have this conversation with Lopez. Forcing the outside zone. We talked a little bit about it a minute ago. I don't know, Luke, that our inside three – aren't better downhill guys.
Mm.
I don't know that Shaq Mason, Kenyon Green, and Juice Scruggs aren't significantly better if we're pinning and pulling where they got leverage and they can move mass.
Yeah.
Or we're duoing straight downhill to where we're getting a double team on an interior defensive lineman and we're getting to the second level. We're two guys on one and we're moving mass and I just don't know that we're not a better run team when it comes down to that. With that approach.
And there's Ben.
Oh,
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Oh boy, Tyler, you ain't been in the building. You ain't been in that damn seat for 10 minutes now, and you already interrupting. What you got going on, bro?
Yeah, might be one of those kind of Fridays, boys. We got breaking news. The final injury report for your Houston Texans just hit the wire. Officially out for Texans versus Bills on Sunday. It's gonna be Jerry Hughes along with running back Joe Mixon. Those two fellas are listed as out for this game. Questionable for the Texans, running back Damian Pierce and wide receiver Robert Woods.
So the big one there, obviously no Joe Mixon, questionable Damian Pierce. The reports are that Damian Pierce was at practice today. I think Damian Pierce, which I think he starts, and gets the bulk of the carries. If he is healthy, clearly they don't believe in Cam Akers the way that I believe in Cam Akers, because last year they were spelling him with 2 and 3 guys. J.J. Taylor somehow getting totes in the game. So, the Damian Pierce piece is important just for depth and just to see what the 1-2 punch is going to be. Is it going to be Cam Akers and Dari Agumbawale and J.J. Taylor, or is it going to be Damian Pierce mixed in there somewhere?
And going back to the point you were just making before that about the downhill running, I mean, doesn't that fit Damian Pierce
absolutely
better?
Right. Absolutely. And that's what really spurred this thing on is I'm guilty of preseason. Now we've got some evidence, right? But I'm guilty preseason of watching and going, okay, you know, if they're going to force this outside zone thing, then Cam Akers is the guy. But I'm at a point now to where I've seen them try to force all this other crap with all these different backs, and it's not getting done. And at some point in time, we just got to face the music. And maybe the downhill, this may be a blessing in disguise. If Damian Pierce is ready, the downhill attack, as I said, I'm just at a point where I think our three interior offensive linemen would rather do that than stretch and float to the sideline and try to reach guys constantly, get themselves moving laterally, just get them on somebody, move mass, get them to the second level, and get downhill right now. I'm not sure that's not our best bet as an overall offense.
And that's a lot easier just to move forward and lean on somebody as an offensive line than to get out in space, be athletic, or even to have to pass block and back up. But I'm always of the school of thought, look, I know what Slowik does. I know where he came from with Shanahan. I know what he's been was doing for the years prior. But the idea of molding your offense around your personnel as opposed to trying to force your personnel into your system. And so if Dameon Pierce is the best option on Sunday, instead of trying to force him into something that isn't his best strength, because I think that's what coaching is putting your players in the best position to succeed. And I don't think that's what you're doing by having Pierce try to run that type of running style that they've been doing the last year and a half. Even if it's just, and you know better than me, I don't know if you can make an adjustment for a couple of games while Joe Mixon is out, but I think the offense looks a lot better if Pierce is running downhill between the tackles more often, because that's your lead back and that's his strength for at least Sunday. He's your lead back, and we'll see how much further after that.
All right, that's Luke Morrow right here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Clint Turner. Ron Hughley is out today. T-Mill is behind the glass. We're at East River 9 hanging out. Got a nice, as you can hear, got a nice little breeze coming through the breezeway here. And we got some matchups to talk about. Texans-Bills, it's not only a big game this weekend for the Texans. This is a monster game in NFL circles, definitely in the AFC. There's a couple of matchups that I think are going to be big for the Texans' defense. D'Amico Ryan's got to be special, man. You got Josh Allen, a leading MVP candidate, on his way to town, and they do things a little bit differently than a lot of the teams in the NFL. So D'Amico Ryan's going to have his hands full. I got a couple of key matchups on the defensive side of the football that we'll talk. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. And you heard the man. We're at East River 9. Y'all come on out. And if nothing other than just to enjoy this absolutely beautiful view of the city. But the vibes are real. We're in this little breezeway. The wind's blowing through. It looks like the restaurant inside is jumping. I've been in there plenty of time. The grub is really, really good. The drinks are phenomenal. The service is top-notch. And if you so choose to swing some sticks, I've done that too as well. It's a nice spot. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for making this happen. I want everybody that comes by to make sure that you scan the QR code on the little right here next to our left, your right. If you show up, there's a QR code that it will register you for the Academy Sports and Outdoors Ultimate Tailgate prize pack, which is a $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, two seats in our suite to the Christmas Day game, which is Texans Ravens. Another one of those matchups that'll be a kind of one of them games that'll really tell you where the Texans are at that point in time. We'll see. But you register right here next to us, and if you win, you get $1,000 and you get to come hang out in a suite with all of us, all of our Odyssey Houston group, Sports Radio 610 group. So come on up. We're also going to give away a couple of gift cards as well. Again, thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Luke, this is I've been saying it all day yesterday, day before, this is a monster game for the Houston Texans. I mean, this game is probably getting more attention than damn sure any regular season game that the Texans have played. I think a comparable Texans game last year was the Cincinnati Bengal game, which to me was kind of a measuring stick game for the Texans, kind of really see where they were at. They'd won a couple of games. How good can CJ really be, and how good can this team be? And when they won that game, I don't care how they won and how they got it done, when they won that game, they beat a team that everybody in the AFC thought was a top team. Everybody in the AFC potentially represent the AFC in the championship game, if not the Super Bowl. And so you look at it and you go, okay, that was kind of a monumental measuring stick win for the Texans. I think this is the biggest regular season game for D'Amico Ryans. I think it's the biggest game for D'Amico Ryans since he's been here. But I definitely think it's the biggest regular season game, measuring stick game for the Houston Texans. Do you agree with that?
I heard you make that point earlier this week. I can't say you're wrong. I know.
Sure, you can. You can say whatever the hell you want.
Well, I get your point, and I do agree with you. I just always go back to the final game last year against the Colts because I think that sets up this year. Like, if you lose that game, you don't make the playoffs, or you know, you don't win. I think some people might feel a little differently coming into this season, but the fact that you won that game, you win a playoff game, that set up all the expectations for this season, therefore making this a big game. And it showed. Young quarterback, young coach going on the road, and essentially a playoff game, so much on the line, playing really well, getting a win. So You've swayed me. When you first said it, I thought, no, that can't match up with that game last year. And then as I heard you continue to talk about it through this week, I thought, he has pulled me over to his side, but I think I still lean to that final game last year because that sets up the big stage, in my opinion, helps sets up the big stage that we have Sunday.
Fair. There's a handful of them out there. I just think this is about establishing yourself as one of the top teams in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And not winning the division, not getting in when nobody thought you were going to get in. This is validating what everybody has put them on the table and said, this is a potential Super Bowl team. You're validating that. You don't show up and show out. You just go out there and you get Minnesota Viking. Then folks are going to change their song and dance on the Houston Texans. With that said, we talked a lot about the offense in the first segment. I want to switch over to the defensive side of the football here. I think this is big. Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator. I know D'Amico Ryans does all the calling and probably a lot of the scheming, but Matt Burke is an integral part of what they're doing on the defensive side of the football. Love it or hate it, that's the reality of it. When it comes Thursday, Matt Burke as a defensive coordinator is the face of this defense and speaks to the media. And Matt Burke had some interesting things to say about the Bills' threat. The Bills threaten a defense in a way that maybe the old school, and I'm just saying not exactly the same, but with the same mentality and mindset. Derrick Henry and the Titans back in the day, we're just going to pound it right mm-hmm. and make you like it. Baltimore Ravens, I think they're definitely now, maybe not so much last year, but definitely now, and in the previous years in Baltimore, the 49ers had the ability to do it. But they're going to do it in a way with Josh Allen, a big quarterback, that I think is a unique challenge, if you will, for Matt Burke in this defense. Here's Matt Burke talking specifically about what the Buffalo Bills offense brings to the table.
Yeah, great players. Great. And, if you think, I would say they're sort of triangle of, Shakir in the slot and then the tight end in the back, sort of those inside pieces. There are huge weapons for them. And, they try to get those guys in the matchups that they want. Back's a really good receiver, explosive with the ball in his hands. Tight ends obviously become a huge weapon for them as well. So I think it's just part of their sort of philosophy of working some of the inside part of the field with those guys and trying to get those guys in mismatches. And like I said, part of to me, them getting the ball out of his hands fairly quickly, let's get into a good spot and let those guys do some work. So, sort of us closing space and challenging those guys and closing for tackles and tracking those things are going to be big because, in some case you can't take away they can throw some screens and just get the ball in those guys' hands, and we have to be good on the perimeter and sort of defending that piece for sure.
That brings two things to light. And Luke, I'm going to tell you, I didn't hear this audio until almost I got here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I built this segment right here, these two topics that we're going to talk about before I heard Matt Burke's audio. When I heard it, I was like, that's it. Matt made my point. Matt, I love you, man. Here's the thing. When you look at the top matchups for the defensive side of the football for the Houston Texans, it is the interior defensive line versus the Buffalo Bills downhill run attack. That's it. It starts and stops there with Cooks and Allen downhill and the backups, obviously. But that 1-2 punch of those guys getting downhill, if the game isn't tight, then it's not going to matter. But as long as this game is close, they're going to be willing to risk Josh Allen in run situations. And this interior defensive line has got to bow its neck. This is, like Trapp said, Travis Johnson said last night, bow your neck and earn your check. This is one of those games for the Houston Texans. I said this coming in. It was a dead horse that I beat coming into the game. Is the interior defensive line for the Texans? They tried to address it with game changing different kind of playmakers. They ended up addressing it with depth and journeyman, if you will. They've had a couple of guys, Mario Edwards and a couple of other guys. Tim Settle Jr. stepped up and Foley Fatakasi stepped up, and they've done some nice things. But if the bar is AFC Championship Super Bowl, then this is the game where those guys got to bow your neck and earn your check. They got to slow that run game down inside, and it starts with those guys there.
And this is going to be a challenge that you're not used to seeing, and you probably won't see the rest of the year. And facing a quarterback like Josh Allen, that combination of the passing and the throwing, And if you go back and you look at this Texans defense so far under DeMeco Ryans, I mean, go back to last year, you lost to the Ravens twice and you lost to Anthony Richardson. That was probably the best mobile quarterbacks you faced. And then even earlier this year, Anthony Richardson did a pretty good job with his feet, not nearly as good with his arm compared to Josh Allen. And even last year, you point to, like, say, the Cardinals or maybe be the other game where you faced a mobile quarterback in Kyler Murray, and they won that game, but Kyler still had over 50 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown as well and did some good things on the ground. And now this is an even bigger challenge in Josh Allen. So not only that physical rushing attack, but to be able to account for both the running back and the quarterback being able to run the football so well. This is different than Anthony Richardson because what he can do with his arms. This is different than Trevor Lawrence because what he can do with his legs, and you have to account for both of that as a Texans defense. So it's obviously, as we know, let me state the obvious, I mean, just a huge matchup and a huge test against Josh Allen on Sunday for those guys.
Well, it should be what Steichen and company want to do with Anthony Richardson.
Right.
It should be more of what they do, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah.
But they just haven't got it done. They haven't figured themselves out yet. But that interior defensive line for the Texans defense inside the tackles has given up over 5 yards a carry. I know it hasn't seemed that way because they've had good moments. And we've played some inept offenses, to be honest with you. But you better believe it this week. That 5+ yards of carry inside the tackles that you're allowing stands out like a sore thumb, man, when Josh Allen and Cooks and company are staring down the barrel. All right, what's on the line for Stephon Diggs Sunday? This is a monster game for the Texans. This is an even bigger game. Say what you want about it. Soft shoe it if you want. Another storyline that I'm tired of hearing about. This is a big-ass game for Stephon Diggs. We'll paint that picture for you and cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in, and we are rocking and rolling, man. It's a beautiful day in H-Town, and we got a big-time matchup coming up this weekend. And, look, I think the headliner, other than just the magnitude of this game, the fact that we've got a team in the Buffalo Bills who have been a leader in the AFC, I'll say one of the top two or three teams in the AFC for a long time. You think it's fair, Luke? I mean, I think when you look at the AFC over the last handful of years, Lamar Jackson has been tremendous in the regular season. But to me, it seems like I've watched more playoff games where it was Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen. When it comes to playoffs, it seems it was more. I know last year the AFC Championship with Lamar was different, but it seems like over the last 8-9 years, it seems like, maybe not even that long, 6 years, it's been those guys.
For sure. Since Brady and the Patriots, no one's dominated their divisions more than the Bills in the East and the Chiefs out West. Unfortunately for the rest of the AFC. But, yeah, I think those are the top two. And then, obviously, the Ravens, Bengals mixed in as well. It's a consistency. Yeah, I think the Bills are right there with the Chiefs.
Well, and the Bills made a huge change mid-year last year, took a big-time gamble, and it ended up paying off. And so I asked a question. With this game being a monster game for the Texans, and I think it's a measuring-stick game for DeMeco Ryans and this football team, I think we'll know more about legitimately where they stand in the AFC after this week. But that's the headliner is Texans Bills, no doubt about it. But I think when you what do you call the act right before the headliner comes on? We're going to tee you up. I can't remember what the hell
like
that
the
is.
The opening act?
I wouldn't call it an opening act. I want it to be a little bit more important than the opening act. But you get the point.
Yeah,
The guy right before the headliner comes on, man. The guy that the next superstar, you know, musician is going to go right before George Strait hits the stage. But the point is you're not talking about Texans Bills if you're not talking about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. And really, you know, I think Josh gets slid in there because he was the quarterback. But to me, this is more about Stephon Diggs. And I think I asked the question, what's on the line for Stephon Diggs on Sunday? And as I paint the picture, you know, I look back in 2022, the Cincinnati loss, he's standing in front of, I think it was snowing, he's standing in front of Josh Allen. And he's throwing his hands up, talking about, give me the ball. Ultimately, what the hell are we doing complaining, right? The team last year, as I mentioned, shifted gears, fired the offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, and went with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. And Brady clearly said, we're no more forcing the football down the field to Diggs. We're going to run the football. We're going to be run-centric and then spin the ball off the run, which meant that Diggs' numbers – obviously dropped, and call it what you want, it was a moving on from Stephon Diggs. Then the team trades Stephon Diggs. since then, Stephon Diggs has somebody made the comment on Twitter. I don't remember who it was. Somebody in the media, I think, made a comment about, you know, Josh will be okay without Diggs. And Diggs basically said, you think so, kind of deal.
Yep.
And he responded in that kind of way. And Josh Allen has gone on to be right now the lead horse in the MVP race. It's early, but that's how well he's played. And then Josh Allen a little earlier this year making the comments about it's and he can say it's not directed at Diggs, which I don't believe that Josh Allen was directed at Diggs. I do believe that Josh Allen grew tired of what the dynamic was in Buffalo when Stephon Diggs was a big part of it. Whatever role you may think he played, he was a part of that. That's no longer there, and he's got a bunch of guys that aren't one receivers. They're not divas, and everybody is happy when they get two catches. Everybody is happy to be a starter. Everybody is happy to catch a touchdown. Josh Allen commented this year, and the media ran with it, about how nice it is to just have a group that's worried about winning versus ultimately getting catches, getting targets, and scoring touchdowns. Indirectly or directly, however you want to look at it, that has something to do with Stephon Diggs. So this is a big game, I think, first and foremost for Stephon Diggs against his old employer, the Buffalo Bills, who, let's call it what it is, they chose to move on from a great player.
Yeah, it sure is a big game for Diggs. Look, when he faced the Vikings earlier this year, I thought that was a big game too, and he led the team in targets and had a good day
Great, yeah.
And I think this is even bigger for Diggs because this is more recent. There was a bad breakup in Minnesota, but that was, 5 years ago? This just happened a few months ago. And so the way I look at this game in particular, if you want to look at Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, I think this is the battle. Josh Allen obviously is more concerned about the war, which is showing he could have a great career moving forward without Stephon Diggs. Diggs wants to show on Sunday as they go head-to-head, who knows how many more opportunities he'll have, that you made a mistake letting me go. And so it's almost...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like in a relationship, if you are with a new partner and that partner's ex is going to be at an event you're going to, and Diggs is that ex, right? You're dating somebody who dumped Stephon Diggs believing, I'm better off without him. And so Diggs is going to that same event now with the ex and their new partner thinking, I'm going to screw up their night and then go home. He'll be feeling happy. But those two might go on to have a great marriage and a happy life moving forward. So Diggs is always going to hold on to that night. Like, I screwed up Josh Allen's day. But if Josh Allen continues to play really good football the rest of his career without Diggs, he won't think so much about this game. He'll think about the Hall of Fame career he's put together. So all that's to say, Sunday in a vacuum, I think it's a much bigger deal for Diggs. I think it's a big deal. But for Josh Allen, it's, to me, more of just another game because he still has to prove himself that,
yeah,
I'm just as good of a quarterback without Diggs moving forward.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you. I think from a quarterback's perspective, just generally speaking, it's normal. In fact, it's difficult to not just be concerned with winning, right? I mean, there's so much. If you let one thing, which may be the problem when Diggs was there, was you let something kind of over almost consume you more important than just winning.
Right.
That's the bigger problem. So I think it's hard. It's going to be hard for Josh Allen to be in a spot where it's like, yeah, man, I'm more worried about what the hell Diggs is doing. Mm-hmm. That's why I phrased it the way I did. What's on the line for Diggs? Look, if Diggs has got to play well.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this is about, like, for Diggs, and I know it's I hope it's about winning for Diggs no matter what. But, like, even if the Texans win, if Diggs has two or three catches and isn't a major factor, then the narrative, it's all going to be drummed back up next week about, hey, does Diggs have anything left? Did Josh really need Diggs? Mm-hmm. And so Diggs is the one that's got a lot on the line here, just relative to, you know, what the narrative is about him moving forward. Because it's a contract year,
right?
And so that narrative matters. Don't tell me that the NFL teams don't listen to narratives and don't pay attention to what the hell's going on. And so I just think he needs to play well. Josh needs to win,
right?
You know what I mean? Josh needs to win. Diggs needs, and not just play well, like 6-7 catches, 50-60 yards. That ain't gonna cut it. Like, he needs to play well with a touchdown or more. He needs to play well with 100 yards or more. Like, there's a lot on the line for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to put it. Absolutely, for Sunday. And for Diggs, look, I was worried in that Minnesota game because we know he's a very emotional guy. I was concerned that could bring up some of those emotions that if he's not getting the football. And he had plenty of targets, had plenty of catches, played well. The game obviously didn't go well. So I'm just curious, Sunday. We've seen this Texans team as a whole have problems with some discipline this year in terms of maybe their emotions with the penalties and some extracurricular activities with the opposition in some of these games, most notably against the Bears. So bringing it back to the topic here, my concern is if things are not going well Sunday for Diggs, can he continue to keep the focus on the team, winning the game, as opposed to, I got to show these former guys what I can do? Can he use those emotions for a positive instead of, you know, some of those outbursts we saw in the past where he's fired up on the sideline?
Well, there goes you another storyline, right? I think this is going to be a tight ball game.
Yeah.
You know what? Offensively for the Texans, I think there's going to be moments where it's frustrating. You're not going to go out there and just throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. You're not going to go up and down the field and hopefully, I don't think you are. Maybe you do. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think this is going to be a hard-fought football game. I think that Buffalo is going to try to slow it down. I think their defense is going to win some battles against the Texans' offense. And so it's not going to be pretty all day. And you do wonder, with all the emotion that is, because I do believe there's a ton of emotion. I don't think it's just kind of blasé, blasé. I think there's a ton of emotion with Stephon Diggs. And if this game is tight, if the Texans are down a score and it's in the third quarter, maybe early fourth quarter, and Diggs doesn't have the touches that he thinks he should have, those are the moments where in the past there's been some issues. Whatever those issues may be, you make of it what you will. There have been some issues, and so that is another storyline there. What's in it? That's the great part of the question. What is on the line for Diggs? Not just from a playing perspective, but managing your emotions.
Yeah, almost for a reputation perspective.
Yeah, because now you ain't, like, again, you're impacting future money. You're in a contract year.
Yeah.
So for week five to be one where you show a little bit of an outburst, that could affect that pocketbook. So we'll see. Keep an eye on that as we roll forward as well. All right, let's switch gears, man. We've talked a little bit about Devontae, and I think one of the biggest stories right now in the NFL is Devontae Adams. There's some new audio on from one of his former quarterbacks. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are claiming to not be in the conversation, but I wouldn't believe a word Jerry said. I wouldn't believe a word Jerry said. When Jerry talks to the media, all I do is flashback to them days when we was drinking margaritas in Mi Casino up in Dallas, and I'm like, I ain't believing a word your ass is saying, Jerry. We'll talk about Devontae Adams and where he is headed. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.